Thank you. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Don't you love being here? What we're doing. This is just, love thy kingdom, Lord, God's people. Don't you love seeing them come through that door with their faces? Glad to see the brethren. They're glad to see us. What a blessing. What a blessing. This is a parable the Lord told about his vineyard. The Lord was preaching and teaching, chapter 19, verse 47. Chapter 19, verse 47, he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and chief of the people sought to destroy him. It's amazing, isn't it? He's the truth personified, and meek and lowly and wonderful. They taught to destroy him. That's amazing, isn't it? Chapter 20, verse 1, it came to pass on one of those days as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. The chief priests and scribes came upon him with the elders. They ganged up on him. He taught and preached the gospel. That's what he did. That was his vocation. That's what he came to do. He said, I've come to preach the gospel. And that's what all of his... This was the Son of God, sent by God to preach first and then to die. But to preach, to teach. And so do all of those sent by God. That's how you know them. That's what they do. They teach God's word and they preach the gospel. That's what they're sent to do. That's how salvation cometh. Well, these scribes and Pharisees who were supposed to be teaching and preaching the gospel, but were not. They came upon him, and verse 2, they spake unto him. And you hear their indignation, their righteous, self-righteous indignation, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Who is he that gave thee this authority? Who do you think you are? Who gave you this permission, this authority? Where are your credentials? Tell us where you came from. Who sent you? Who authorized you? Who recognized you? Who sent you? Show us your degrees. Show us your Master of Divinity. Show us your doctorate. They said the same thing to John the Baptist, remember? Who are you? Where are you from? And he wouldn't tell them. He wouldn't tell them. I'm just a voice. And neither does our Lord here. He doesn't tell them. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to school? Who gave you this license to preach? You know, there was one man in Scripture that had formal religious training. You know that? One man. Saul of Tarsus. Paul. You know what he said about it? Garbage. Dung. He said it was a waste of time. He had to renounce it. Threw it all away. All he learned was error. As God's preachers, like God's Son, are taught of God and sent by God and blessed by His Spirit, and they preach. It, Paul said, in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Little did these hypocrites know, and that's what they were. They were pretenders. They were self-appointed priests and scribes and all, self-appointed. Or somebody in a seminary recognized them and put them where they put them. That's not the ministry. That's not... You don't do that. It's not of men. Paul said that in Galatians 1. He said, my apostleship, my ministry is not of men. It's of God. Little did these little hypocrites realize, but this was the Lord God of heaven who gave them permission to be where they were. They were the ones trespassing, unsent by God. They were the ones. And they were only doing this by his permission. They were allowed to continue by his permission. Same today, our Lord said this. He said, in the last days, many false prophets shall arise. Didn't it? They go out in the world. Many. He said that. It's a sign of the time. And in Israel of old, they had true prophets. But as in this story, they despised them. Israel despised them. They killed them all. So what did God do? He allowed false prophets to rise up. And the place was full of false prophets. And it started with Jeroboam over when Solomon's wives took his heart away and God divided the kingdom since they feared the Lord and worshiped idols. They didn't fear the Lord, but they said they did. So there was a mixture. So there were more and more false prophets because people rejected the truth. So God, and the same Paul said in 1 Timothy, have turned away their ears from the truth unto fables, and heap up teachers having itching ears. And to be more and more and more and more. And that's why there's a so-called church on every corner today. You can find just whatever people want to hear, you can find somebody to tell them. But the truth is rare. The truth is precious. The truth is, and those who preach it are rare. Few and far between, hard to find. So he said, many false prophets and many false churches, but they're only allowed to continue, as John said, he who letteth, Antichrist, and many Antichrist, John said, only he who now letteth shall let. So he's the one. And they said, who let you do this? They should have. The question is, he's the one. Who sent you? And men ask questions, you know, that they can't be answered. They make demands of God. They make this demand of Christ. Later, they ask him all sorts of questions. And he answered them wisely. And then he asked them one question. You remember? He said, I'm going to ask you a question. And nobody could answer it. But men think so highly of themselves, their wisdom and their that they think they can stump God. They think they can refute the truth. I love the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was a deacon. That means that he waited tables. That wasn't a high office. He was to God, a servant, but it wasn't like a high priest. He was just a table waiter. They just served tables. That's what a deacon was. Stephen was a deacon. How about the Lord? Blessed him greatly. Like Philip. Philip was a deacon. But, oh, the Lord blessed him to preach, didn't he? Everywhere. Well, Stephen, it says of Stephen, they could not resist. The scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers, they could not resist the wisdom that he had or the spirit by which he spoke. They couldn't do it. Nor can men today, the wisest, of, so-called wisest of men, cannot resist or refute or could not get in a real debate of God's word with a man sent by God. Can't do it. They just don't know the truth. It would be refuted. They would be embarrassed. All right. Verses 4 through 8. Verse 3. He answered them. Verse 3. I'll ask you one thing, and you answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoning. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. He says, the truth is written in God's hearts. Wisdom is justified of her children. God's people know. Either man's sent from God or he's not. And if he's not, don't listen to him. How do you know him? He preaches one thing. He does one thing. It's clear to us. But they had to confer with one another. They had to get a little council together. What do we say to them? And they reasoned with themselves. If we say John's ministry was from heaven, he'll say, why then believe ye him not? Why don't you hear him? Why don't you believe him? If God sent him, you better listen to him. And they didn't. They rejected John. If we say he's of men, he's just sent by men, the people will stone us. They're persuaded that John was a prophet. They're persuaded that God sent him. And then we'll lose some of our people. And so they answered. They answered that they could not tell whence it was. No, they just refused to answer. It's like I remember hearing a preacher years ago saying, it's not that people can't understand the truth, like election. It's not that. That's not it. It's easy to understand. God chose this one. He didn't choose this one. What's hard to understand about that? Huh? What is it then? They don't like it.
That's right.
So they refuse to answer. I don't understand election. What's hard to understand about it? God, who's saved is because God saved, chose them. They won't be saved unless God chose. What's hard to understand about that? Not hard to understand. They just don't like it. So they said, we don't know. So our Lord said, well, neither tell I you. By what authority I do these things. And then he began to speak to the people this parable of the vineyard. Now, one more thought on this. We could all learn a lesson from our Lord's wisdom here. I thought about this. Our Lord was truly a man of few words. He only spoke with wisdom and patience and power, with patience and even compassion, but anger when necessary. But he was a man of few words. Scripture tells us to be slow to speak, doesn't it? Slow to answer. A wise man studieth to answer. If you can't get an answer from God's word, it's just an opinion, isn't it? Our Lord in Proverbs says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Don't get in a debate. Don't argue with fools, with unbelievers. We're not sent to debate with unbelievers. We're not out to prove God. You know that? We declare him. We're not trying to prove God. We can't convince anybody of anything. But when God, like Saul of Tarsus, when God came to Saul, who was one of these scribes and one of these Pharisees, it's all clear then when he met the sovereign Lord. So we're not out to prove God, and so let's not debate with and argue with unbelievers. Our Lord didn't do it. One time, I love this. The disciples came to him, and they were impressed with these Pharisees. They looked the part of holy men, and the disciples were just fishermen. And that flesh, yeah, they were impressed with these fellows. And they came to him and said, Lord, the Pharisees were offended. You offended them. He said, leave them alone. They're blind leaders. They're blind. Don't argue. Don't be impressed with it. Don't argue with those fellows. They're blind. Leave them alone. He didn't come for them. He came for the common people, didn't he? All right. The Lord told this parable of the vineyard. And this parable of the vineyard is a story of Israel, the Jews, God's chosen people. The vineyard. That's the vineyard. All right? And how corrupt it became. And how the owner of it, God, sent his prophets. And they abused them. And finally sent the son. And they killed him. So the Lord of the vineyard and the Lord God of heaven was angry with Israel. They, you know, there have been races of people down through the years that have been greatly abused. None more so than the Jews. No one has suffered down through the years like the Jewish nation. Why? God did it. Judgment. Condemnation of them for rejecting God's truth, God's prophets. And then finally, they killed God's son. So, and then it says, and in the parable, that he took it away from them and gave it to some others. And that's him giving it to the Gentiles. Remember Paul? They finally ended up killing Paul. And he said, and they rejected him. And he said, I'm going to the Gentile. Remember? Okay. He said, I'm going to the Gentile. And he did. And we're the Gentile. All right. A couple thousand years later, it's corrupt again. Isn't it? It's all corrupted again. But God had a remnant. In Israel, God had one tribe out of 12, Judah. He had an elect people. He had a remnant, didn't he? Not all Israel of Israel. Either is he a Jew, which is one outward, but inwardly. God had a chosen people, a remnant. And even today, there's just a remnant. Though millions and millions and millions, if not billions, claim to be Christians, it's so corrupt. You know it is. It's so corrupt. But God has a remnant. God has an elect people. And I believe there are many of those in this room this morning. Thank God. A vineyard. Why did he choose a vineyard? Let's read some of it. He began to speak a parable, verse 9. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant to gather fruit from the vineyard. And they beat him also and entreated him shamefully, sent him away empty, no fruit. And again he sent a third for fruit from the vineyard. And they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, the keepers of the vineyard, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when the people, he was speaking to the people now, when they heard it, they said, God forbid that that should happen. Oh, God, don't let that happen. Well, it did. Why did he use a vineyard? Why did the Lord speak of a vineyard? Isaiah 5. Go over to Isaiah chapter 5. Okay. The Lord used a vineyard because of one thing. There was one fruit in the vineyard. A true vineyard was grapes. Okay. What was produced from grapes? One thing. That vineyard was for one thing. The blood of those grapes. And that's the fruit. That's the produce. That was what was to be coming out of that vineyard to the glory of the one who owned it, who planted the vine. And for the gladness of the hearts of the people, for feasts, for marriages. Wine that makes glad the heart of man. And there was no wine flowing in Israel. No blood. No blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. This book is a river that runs red with blood. From Genesis 3, when God first killed the first substitute, until Revelation, where everyone says, unto him who washed us from our sins in his own blood. This book is a river that runs red with the blood of God's Son. But religion, like the Jews of old, there's no blood in it. Remember Abraham taking Isaac up on the mountain. And this is a picture of religion today. Isaac was taught of God as a young child that there's no, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Been corresponding a little bit with a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, and I can't wait to start bringing up some of these scriptures. Blood. Where's the blood? And where's the blood in Jewish religion today? Where's the blood? Where are the lambs? If Christ didn't come, then they need to be sacrificing lamb. Why did they ever stop sacrificing lamb? They weren't doing it when Christ was here. You see, any mention of the high priest when Christ was here of them sacrificing lamb? Zero. None. Well, it's the blood. Isaiah 5, look at that. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. That's a hill called Mount Zion. He fenced it and gathered out the stone, fenced it, hedged it about, gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine. Didn't Christ say, I'm the vine? And built a tower in the midst of it. A lookout, and made a wine press. That's where the fat, the grapes, are gathered. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. They brought something in that didn't belong there. Plant that the husbandman hadn't planted, the vineyard owner hadn't planted. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I had not done in it? Paul one time said, what advantage hath the Jews? Much every way. To them were given the oracles and the prophets and the law. And it all pointed to Christ. It was all about the blood. Everything God gave to the Jews was for the sacrifice of a lamb, of an offering to God, wasn't it? It was all about that. That was the whole Jewish religion was centered around the blood, which is Christ crucified. There's salvation no other way but by substitute. Substitution, satisfaction. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No blood, no mercy. No blood, no salvation. No blood, you can't come to God, you can't worship God. So he goes on to say, verse 5, now go to, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I'll lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, and come up briars and thorns. I'll command the clouds that they don't rain. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. They look for judgment, behold oppression, for righteousness, behold a cry. So these husbandmen, these Levites, these priests were supposed to be caretakers. And go back to Luke 20. And they were supposed to be caretakers. And it degenerated. And then when our Lord came, it was totally corrupt. And you know, Matthew, Mark, and we read there how that the Lord hedged it about. Israel was so protected, weren't they? They were so protected. They were hedged about. They went through the wilderness for 40 years and God kept them. They were unarmed. And all of these powerful nations that could not. And Israel today still stands by order of God. Amazingly, and the whole world wants Israel wiped out. There's some nations that have nuclear bombs. Why can't they just drop one on Israel? Because God says they can't. They're still a symbol of His absolute authority. And we don't know. We just don't know. Paul wrote about this in Romans 11. We just don't know. He just might reveal Himself to many Jews. I believe He has. But He just might, yet. They're still a symbol of God's absolute authority and sovereignty. Over that nation, over His people. They were hedged about. But the Lord took down the hedge and invading nations just destroyed it. And our Lord said that. There's not going to be one stone left standing on another. They're going to come in, they're going to wipe it out. The temple's going to be torn down. And then look at verse 9. It said a certain man planted a vineyard. In Matthew and Mark, it says there was a hedge about it. And it says there was a wine press. It doesn't say it here at Luke, but there was a wine press where the fat was gathered. In other words, it was a place where they gathered the grapes. And back then, they still got in that vat. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, Margaret, it would be too. Your feet would clean up. I've done it. I gathered about 15 gallons of grapes one year, and I put them in a great big old tub. I got in it barefoot. That was so much fun. I was dancing. You know what I was thinking about? Oh, it's so much fun. Don't you know they all had a good time? You've seen these movies where people do that? They're having a good time. Why? The fat! Listen to Isaiah 25. It says, in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, feast of wine on the lees, fat things full of marrow, wine on the lees, well refined. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're doing right here this morning. We're feasting on fat things. What's fat? What's the fat? It's Christ, His blood, His righteousness, His gospel, His feast, fat thing. We're just getting fatter and fatter spiritually. So there was a wine vat or press or a place where the fat was gathered in the vineyard, but it wasn't there anymore. They weren't gathering any fruit. There was no wine press. And it says there was a tower, that the owner of the place built the tower. What was that for? Go to Isaiah 56 with it. Isaiah 56. The tower was for watchmen. To go up in that tower and keep watch over the vineyard. For the enemy to come in and take, you know, to steal and kill and destroy. There were watchmen, supposed to be watchmen. Has a wolf. Enemy approaching. Right? There's no tower. There were no watchmen. Look at Isaiah 56, verse 10. This is Isaiah now was 100 years before Israel was destroyed. Temple was destroyed. Isaiah prophesied all this 100 years before Israel was destroyed, the temple, all right? Or taken captive. And here's what he said has happened. Verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They're not barking. What good's a dog that won't bark? Huh? Isn't a dog supposed to be a watch dog? Well, a dog that won't bark, what good is it? Lady, dog lover, come on now. It says these men don't bark. They cannot bark. It wouldn't offend anybody for anything. They wouldn't call sin, sin. They wouldn't call anybody a false prophet. They wouldn't dare do it. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Greedy dogs. Can't get enough. The shepherds that cannot understand. They look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain. And that, now, dumb dogs, it said, Ralph Barnard said, that's where that DD came from behind men's name. DD. Not doctor of divinity. It's a dumb dog, wasn't it? He said, Martyr said this too. He said, they need to put a fiddle in front of that. Fiddle DD. And that's right. They're useless, worthless. Dumb dogs. Supposed to be a watchman. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman. His watchmen are totally blind, like dumb dogs. They won't bark, and they're just sleeping, and they're greedy. And that sound familiar? Well, in our text now, read these verses. They killed the servants, and that's the prophets sent by God. I killed them, and then the owner sent his son. He said they should reverence him. And no, they killed the son. They killed the son. And what therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Oh, what has been done to the Jewish nation? And what is the Lord doing all over the world still that rejects God's truth and God's prophets and God's preacher and God's son? The wrath of God, Romans, Paul wrote this in the last day, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. And men reject the truth. The wrath of God is everywhere. It's everywhere to be seen. It says in verse 16, he shall come and destroy these husbands. And people said, oh, God forbid. Well, they were the very ones that said crucify him later. And then I like this, verse 17 and 18. And he beheld them. He's looking on them. And again, I say, most of the people said, God forbid that this should happen. Later on, they were crying out for our Lord's crucifixion. And he beheld them. He beholds us. Who's true? Who's not? Who's on the Lord's side? He says, what is this then that is written? What is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. You know, that's Psalm 118. And the next verse and that says, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. There's a place out on 220 in that building where you used to sell flowers. All right? That's their slogan. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118:23. But before that, now they're not talking about rejection of the stone. Christ said that. This is what this is. This is marvelous in our eyes. That the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become head of the corner. This is marvelous in our eyes that they reject him, but God accepted him. And this is marvelous in our eyes, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. We don't reject it.
Right.
It's sovereign mercy, sovereign electing grace that we don't reject him. All these people did. The whole nation of Israel did. The whole world basically is now rejecting him. Why not us? God said, have not I chosen you? A chosen generation. And that's the next message. A chosen generation. This now, that's what's marvelous in our eyes. Those people out there talking about their little clubhouse. What's marvelous in our eyes is Jesus Christ.
Right.
The stone. The stumbling. The rock of offense. And he said, don't you love this? Verse 18, he said, whosoever shall fall on that stone shall be broken. Broken hearted, but he'll heal them. But on whomsoever it shall fall, he'll grind him to powder. Whew. That doesn't sound like a Jesus man believed today. Would you turn to one more scripture before we close? Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It goes well with it. Hebrews 10. We're talking about a wine press and the blood. Okay? And this is powerful. This is weighty. Hebrews 10. This is fearful. Because the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Hebrews 10, and it says in verse 29, verse 27, Hebrews 10, 27, is a fearful looking for of judgment. Those who forsake the assembly, those who sin willfully, I mean they leave. It will devour the adversary. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, supposed to be redeemed, saved, an unholy thing, done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now you know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And the time has come. Judgment begins at the house of God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands the living God. Fall on Him. Fall on Him. Well, you don't want Him to fall on you. And He won't fall on you if you fall on Him. If you call on Him. He won't fall on you. He'll have mercy on you if you worship Him and rejoice in His Son. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us all. Okay.